So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Here at KPCC, we have a quality of life team that is made up of employees who come together and find ways for us to have fun events, socialize as a team. They do really great stuff. Every year they do a Halloween costume contest. This year it was done virtually because, of course, we're not all working from our studios together. Most KPCC employees are working remotely from home. There's going to be a Zoom Thanksgiving gathering coming up for all of us in lieu of what we typically do and get together and have a Thanksgiving lunch here, all the employees at KPCC. That, of course, will not be happening here. I'd like to know what your company does to try and deal with the burnout that so many employees are experiencing during this time of the pandemic. And again, whether that's from working remotely and not having that kind of social and, you know, face-to-face team meetings that are so much a part of so many workplaces, or whether you're in a workplace environment where there just is inherent risk. You're working with other people, doing your best to stay safe, but there's some anxiety that comes from that and potential burnout. Whether you're working in a warehouse, maybe you're a delivery person, you're working in a supermarket or a drugstore, you're in the medical field, and you're working at a clinic or a hospital or a doctor's office, 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. What are you, if you are an employer, doing to try and help, and what's worked and what not with your employees, and also what's going on with your employer, if you're an employee, what are they doing that's working or not doing to try and help you through burnout? With me is Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter, who covers workplace issues, and he's author of the recent piece, Companies Offer Creative Solutions to Worker Burnout During the Pandemic. Chip, so good to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
So what are some of the creative ways? Maybe we should start with some of the bigger companies because that affects so many people. What are they trying to try and deal with this?
Well, there's really kind of a wave of experimentation underway across corporate America with so many executives and managers realizing we have to do something, that so many employees just feel kind of the strain of living and working this way month after month. And so it starts at a lot of companies by trying to expand access to counseling and mental health resources, hugely important right now. But it also goes beyond that. A number of companies are launching kind of homespun groups to deal with burnout. One of them that has done this is a company called Eventbrite, based near San Francisco.
Yeah.
One of their engineers took it upon himself to just start talking about his own struggles with burnout during this, and that opened up a conversation across the country, across the company, where he then was talking with his colleagues, asking them to come forward to share how they're really feeling in this. And that really sparked interesting conversations.
Well, that's a great example, because Eventbrite is a company that has to be devastated by the pandemic because there aren't all the, you know, social, in events that Eventbrite is designed, you know, to ticket people for. So that's got to be a company where people are very concerned, you know, about their employment future too.
Well, that's it. Their business model is under strain. But I think we could generalize this more broadly too, that so many of us, whether our companies are facing financial challenges right now or not, kind of, I think, have added this additional burden on ourselves. You know, we're grateful to be employed in this moment when so many, unfortunately, are still out of work. But I think that just means that we've taken on kind of additional responsibilities. We want to make sure that we're showing up for every Zoom call, that where it's clear what we're adding to our company, what we're doing for our teams. That is just a big burden on folks when so many are also dealing with kind of personal issues, you know, childcare issues, you know, additional kind of tasks around the house. And so I think all of that combined it kind of adds to this burnout that we're feeling. And so, you know, some managers have, I think, come up with creative ways to deal with this. One that I was struck by is the company Dell, another technology company, where one of the executives there who manages a team of about 300 people has kind of developed a shorthand within the company. And that team says, their colleagues ask each other, are you above the line or are you below the line? It's a simple way of saying, how are you feeling in this moment without necessarily needing to go into the kind of nitty-gritty personal details that you might not want to share, this team has found that's a helpful way to signal you may need some additional help without having to go into all of these kind of specifics of what you're facing right now.
Yeah, because that's so challenging for many employees. They don't want to share with their employer the personal challenges that they're going through, concerned that, you know, that could, you know, taint their reputation or have the employer think negatively about them. And you were mentioning about the psychological support services, and I know that's part of many employee wellness programs that larger employers have, but that's got to be harder to come by with some of the smaller companies.
You're absolutely right. And some of those services can be kind of tough to access. I think there's been kind of an effort to kind of obviously roll out more virtual programs. But I think some of these initiatives don't have to be costly, though. We've seen some companies kind of really try to address this by retraining their own managers and by saying, for example, that managers need to pick up the phone and actually talk with their employees, more regularly to see how they're really doing. One company has a phrase that they've retrained all of their managers during the pandemic, since so many supervisors came up through the ranks, you know, being able to see their people or being able to at least travel to other offices to visit them. And so this company has kind of relaunched its manager training program. And one of the steps in that is that when managers are talking with their direct reports on the phone or via video conference, one of the first questions should be, how are you really, really doing? Kind of this idea of getting beyond the stock. How are you doing? Let's launch into business. But instead, to kind of pause a bit, to have that uncomfortable silence, and to then let it come out about how employees are really feeling, what they're dealing with, so that a manager might be able to address it.
We're talking with the Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter, who covers workplace issues, and he's author of Companies Offer Creative Solutions to Worker Burnout During the Pandemic. I want to hear from you what your company has done and whether you feel it's hit home or been a swing and miss. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You quote Antonio Neri, the CEO of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, as encouraging the managers in his company to make phone calls to employees. And that's something that, you know, a lot of companies have stopped using the phone. They used, you know, Slack for internal messaging or email or texting. And so actually, you know, voice phone conversation is something that in many cases has fallen by the wayside. So what's been their experience with actually calling and talking to employees?
It sounds so simple, but HPE has found that by doing this, it's really effective. It just gets people kind of talking in a way that is different than norm. Like you said, we spend so much of our days on Slack, on email. You know, it can just be easy to get into this rhythm where you're just talking business and going back and forth. And so that is why he has really stressed to his company, you need to go beyond that and you need to make that personal call. He said it's made a real difference. And that's something we've heard across multiple companies, actually, who have encouraged this type of approach. Another example is Hilton, the big hotel giant. One of the top executives at Hilton has been encouraging managers and employees to do Zoom meetings kind of in unusual places, to say it's okay to do those from parks if it's still warm out. It's okay to do those from different spots where you might be running errands, wanting to make sure that we can still have that personal connection while also acknowledging that there's a lot going on right now.
866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You know, part of what fuels the burnout as well is previously we could take vacation days and go somewhere. That's much harder to do now. So how do you even recharge yourself when, going out and having a drink in a bar or, you know, going to a restaurant and eating indoors, far more challenging, and all the masking and other protocols that are part of this. It's not the stress reliever that many of these things are, let alone, you know, get on a plane and fly somewhere for a vacation for those able to afford that. Those options are just not what they were. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We'll continue our conversation with Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter in just one minute.
How
Our employers helping their employees deal with the burnout that's part of working during the pandemic. That's for those of us fortunate to have jobs when unemployment, of course, is what it is today. But for people that are working, also stressful, whether in the workplace where there is the potential risk of exposure to COVID-19 or working from home, and the disconnect from coworkers and what that's fostered. 866-893-KPCC. Rick in Laguna Niguel, so glad to have you with us. Share with us your experience.
Well, hey, Larry. I'm not employed, but I've got kind of an interesting perspective. I'm actually a magician, and I have been doing a ton of virtual employee happy hours for companies across the country, because it's all virtual now. And I'm seeing a real trend in these companies doing virtual wine tastings for their employees, doing virtual cooking classes. There's a whole bunch of different ways that employees or companies are now looking for ways to engage their employees and kind of keep that office camaraderie and team camaraderie together.
Oh, yeah, I bet. And how is it for you doing that on Zoom and performing that way?
You know, it took a little adjusting. I've been traveling the world for like 30 years doing this. And, you know, obviously, like so many entertainers, bands and, you know, everybody else, our lives came to a stop when, you know, live performing ended. And fortunately, I have also a little bit of a television film production background, so I was actually able to pivot pretty quickly and turn my garage into a studio.
Rick, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. And I love that. Online cooking classes or wine tasting, magician performances. Rick in Laguna Niguel, Chip Cutter of the Wall Street Journal. Is this something that many companies are trying to, you know, create these sorts of social events for employees?
I love that Rick called in and made that point, because it absolutely is something that we're seeing right now. I think so many companies have realized that the standard Zoom happy hour at this point really kind of inspires eye rolls from a lot of people, that they, you know, we're kind of sick of them. And so I think many companies are trying to kind of outdo each other with kind of ever more creative events. And so I even heard of a company recently that did a virtual visit to a goat sanctuary. And this was part of their way of trying to kind of just boost morale in the company. And so you can see, you know, from, you know, getting to interact with a musician to doing something like visiting the farm, a lot of companies are trying to do something creative here.
EGW writes on our AirTalk page, the Wall Street Journal had a poll several years ago. Most respondents said financial incentive programs were the best cure to burnout. So how many of these companies are offering pandemic pay? So many companies, of course, are cutting staff, not paying people more.
It's a great point. And I think some of the pandemic related bonuses that we saw early in this, particularly for kind of frontline workers, those working at grocery stores and at similar places, have kind of ended. And we've seen companies not necessarily bring them back. So unfortunately, it's the workers that probably need that kind of support the most right now may not necessarily be getting it. And I think that's a great point. Some companies are realizing that it's just not possible to fit in a full workload with the kind of realities of this moment. Fidelity Investments, the big financial services company, is actually doing a pilot right now where they are letting some employees work just 30 hours a week. They'll get to keep their full benefits. They do take a small cut in pay, but it's an acknowledgement of saying, hey, this we can't fit it all in a week. And so this kind of lets them keep their jobs with perhaps a more manageable schedule while they're juggling so many other things outside of work.
Ashley tweets at AirTalk, my suggestion for my workplace would be a 4-day work week with a floating day off when you need it. Are companies looking at cutting hours or work days as a way of helping people cope?
They are. There have been a number of companies that have launched 4-day week experiments during the COVID crisis. And I also was struck in reporting this story by the number of companies that are trying to kind of just surprise employees with 4-day weeks. So one company is a company called Dosh. They're based in Austin, Texas. They have a platform that gives people cash back when they shop. It's a fast-growing company, and that CEO, during all staff meetings on Thursdays, will occasionally tell staff, guess what? Tomorrow is what we call a DOSH day. There's absolutely no work allowed. He says that that just kind of surprise of knowing that you're suddenly going to have a three-day weekend really goes a long way. So I think companies are kind of adding self-care days, and many are realizing that sometimes a four-day work week can be the best approach here.
Eric in Huntington Beach says, I'm an engineer, and my company pretty much isn't helping with burnout. I work a couple days of the week from home. In March, we all worked from home, but they called us an essential business. We were told to come back in. That's Eric in Huntington Beach, who says he hadn't gotten much help from his employer. Joshua in Brentwood says, I work for a tech company. I think they've been doing a good job. We've been fully remote and doing constant communication, having a lot of chats. We've been checking in a lot with each other. That's Joshua in Brentwood. And I would think, Chip, that, you know, a lot of this has to do with what kind of a work culture there was pre-pandemic. If you had a company where employees were comparatively tight, enjoy each other's companies, get along well, similar personality types, that they would ride this out much better than places where there's more employee angst to begin with.
You're absolutely right. And we've seen kind of the best managed companies kind of really do a pretty good job through this, and others that have kind of this, I would say, kind of an outdated management approach, this idea that we need to have butts in seats and we need to be able to observe you doing your work in front of us. I think that has led to a lot of situations where kind of employees feel pressured to return to the workplace before they may feel it's safe. And so you have seen absolutely a range of responses through this. And I think some, it really kind of depends on how executives feel about the pandemic. Some have not taken it as seriously as others, and that's led to kind of some being called back to offices before employees may feel like they're ready.
All right. And of course, all of this, as one of our listeners points out on the AirTalk page, with people not knowing about the future security of their job, not knowing when the type of business they're involved with is going to be back to a more normal flow of customers and work. So all of that, you know, tremendously challenging. There is one other factor, Chip, in this, too, that, you know, COVID kind of rose with the arrival of Slack and similar sorts of interoffice communication. So, and that's a double-edged sword. It can be a great way for people to being connected, but it also can be a way that discontent spreads very quickly as people have more time on their hands.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the amount of employees that I've talked to who have said that they've had to uninstall Slack from their phone just because they can't deal with the fact that it's lighting up right before they go to bed, for example, it's a real issue. I've also talked with employment lawyers who say that they've seen an uptick in online harassment claims during a pandemic of feeling like that, you know, the kind of the sexual harassment, the bullying, all of that doesn't go away now that so many people are working remotely. Oftentimes it's moved online.
Wow. Chip, thank you so much for talking with us about your article in the journal. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Chip Cutter, Wall Street Journal reporter covering workplace issues. His piece, Companies Offer Creative Solutions to Worker Burnout During the Pandemic. You're listening to AirTalk on 89.3 KPECC.